Okay, so if you were trying to fly anywhere in Europe last weekend, you probably heard the usual excuses, right? Things like technical glitches, operational issues, maybe check-in delays.
Yeah, standard travel headaches, it seemed.
Exactly. It sounded like just another day of travel friction. But look, our sources are crystal clear on the chaos that absolutely hammered major European airports. It wasn't some random glitch.
No, not at all. It was calculated, sophisticated even. A coordinated ransomware attack.
Pretty alarming stuff.
It really was an alarmingly efficient breach, actually. I mean, we're talking about a strike that hit the core aviation support system simultaneously across several countries.
So today we're going to cut through those initial headlines.
Right. We want to deliver the essential knowledge here, understand exactly how these attackers managed it, why this one vulnerability could cause such, well, continent-wide chaos.
And what this deep dive really teaches us about, maybe, the fragility of the critical infrastructure we rely on every day.
Precisely. Because the scope alone is just staggering.
Yeah, when you say critical infrastructure, this is it, isn't it? Hitting systems millions of people use, crossing international borders. So, okay, let's get into it. What were the immediate effects, on the ground? Where did things first start to break down?
Well, the first real impact hit Saturday morning.
Okay.
Critical systems just stopped. We're talking baggage handling, boarding passes, the works. They simply stopped responding.
Crows.
The whole operational flow just seized up. It forced airports onto emergency protocols pretty fast. And look, this wasn't just a minor slowdown. It was a systemic
And
freeze.
it wasn't just one place, which is key here. We saw huge disruptions at London Heathrow. Their check-in systems were completely knocked out. Then you look over at Brussels Airport, a massive gateway for Europe, same story. And Brandenburg Airport in Berlin, Germany's main international hub, also hit.
And that geographic spread, that's frankly the most frightening part. It really shows how interconnected these systems are and maybe how little redundancy we actually have. I mean, think about Cork and Dublin airports over in Ireland. They also had issues, right? Which confirms it's all linked underneath. Now, they managed to minimize the passenger impact. Maybe their contingency plans were better or faster.
Okay.
But the fact that one incident could ripple from the UK across Belgium and Germany and touch Ireland, that points to a massive structural vulnerability.
And for the passengers stuck in it, mostly like stepping back in time, right? Like the 1970s or something.
Oh, definitely. You had over 100 flights facing serious delays or just outright cancellations, thousands of people stranded.
And airport staff suddenly scrambling, trying to do everything manually, checking people in by hand.
Exactly. Frantically reverting to manual processing. It sounds terribly inefficient, and it is, but it also highlights this terrifying dependency we have on digital systems working flawlessly all the time.
Yeah, it really does.
Those manual procedures were basically the only thing stopping total collapse, but they absolutely underscore how reliant global aviation is on instant, nonstop digital service.
It forces you to ask, doesn't it? If one attacker can cause this much trouble hitting one spot, why are all our digital eggs in one basket?
That's the million-dollar question. And it leads us right to the why of it, the strategic targeting.
Because hitting Heathrow, Brussels, and Berlin separately, that would take huge resources, surely.
Immense. But hitting one central point to get the same result. From the attacker's perspective, that's.
Well, unfortunately, it's tactical brilliant.
So what was it? What was the common link?
The common denominator was a company called Collins Aerospace. They're an American tech company, and they provide core IT services, including critical check-in systems, to dozens of airports across Europe. The attackers didn't breach the airports directly. They went for the vendor.
So they bypassed the airport's own security in a way.
Essentially, yes. They found a softer target that gave them broader access, and the specific product they hit was called MUS.
MUS, right, you mentioned that. Multi-user system environment, you said.
That's the one. So for anyone listening, why was MUSC the perfect target? What makes it vulnerable?
Well, MUSC is popular because it's very cost-effective. It's what we call a shared infrastructure solution,
Meaning.
meaning multiple different airlines, think British Airways, Lufthansa, Ryanair, EasyJet, they can all use the exact same check-in desks, the same equipment. It makes airport layouts efficient, saves space, saves money.
Okay, I can see the appeal from a business perspective. Sounds like a great business model,
But
but maybe a terrible security model.
that's the crux of it, exactly. When you share infrastructure, you inevitably share risk. By hitting the central provider, Collins Aerospace, and targeting that MUSC platform,
They simultaneously disrupted countless airlines across who knows how many airports.
Precisely. Across multiple international borders. It's not just effective. It's a pretty terrifying blueprint for future attacks on any kind of shared global service.
So, given how vital this system is, I mean, international trade, travel, everything relies on it, why would a single point of failure like this even exist? Is this lack of redundancy, this reliance on one vendor, is that normal for critical infrastructure?
Well, normal is a tricky word. Unfortunately, in the push for efficiency and, let's be honest, cost-cutting over the last couple of decades, consolidation and shared services became the standard in many sectors, not just aviation.
Right.
What this incident really proves is that the security protocols, the redundancy requirements, they just didn't keep pace with that consolidation drive.
So the focus was on efficiency, not resilience.
Pretty much. The strategic choice to use one platform globally means a security failure at the supplier level. Collins Aerospace, in this case, instantly becomes a national security failure at the airport level. It doesn't matter how secure Heathrow's own internal networks are if the check-in system they rely on goes down.
That distinction is so important. Okay, let's map this out, the timeline. When did this digital bomb actually detonate?
Sources indicate the attack started late on Friday evening.
Strategic timing.
Highly strategic. Designed to catch operations teams off guard just as that peak weekend travel period was ramping up. And interestingly, Brussels Airport was apparently among the first to really twig that something serious was wrong.
They realized it wasn't just a normal IT glitch.
Yeah, they figured out pretty quickly this wasn't a standard failure. Something malicious was happening, and they reported it right away.
But even with that early warning, recovery wasn't quick, was it? By Monday morning, Brussels Airport was still putting out advisories, telling passengers to double-check flight status before even heading to the airport.
Right. That tells you the digital disruption lingered for days, causing ongoing problems.
And by Monday.
By Monday, the official confirmation landed. The European Union Agency for Cybersecurity, that's ENISA, they officially classified it a large-scale ransomware attack.
And that confirmation changes everything, right? It shifts from being an IT problem to an international security incident.
Absolutely. And you saw the response reflect that immediately. The UK's National Cybersecurity Center, the NCSC, they mobilized instantly.
Okay.
They were coordinating directly with Collins Aerospace, with the Department for Transport, with law enforcement. They made it clear they were treating this as a serious national security issue. Potential criminal investigation, the whole nine yards.
And just for clarity, maybe for some listeners, ransomware. What does that actually mean in practice here?
Sure. So ransomware means the attackers get into the systems, they find the important data or systems, and they encrypt it. They basically lock it up tight, making it completely unusable.
Like locking a door and keeping the key.
Exactly. And then they demand payment, a ransom, usually in cryptocurrency, in exchange for the decryption keys needed to unlock everything. They're effectively holding the airport's ability to operate hostage. It's high-stakes digital extortion.
When you step back and look at the bigger picture, the cybersecurity implications, this feels like it goes way beyond just aviation, doesn't it? It seems like a potential playbook for attacking any critical system that's interconnected, power grids, finance, healthcare.
You've hit the nail on the head. That's precisely the concern. If we connect this back, the single biggest lesson here is about managing third-party risk.
Right. The vendor.
Yeah.
Collins Aerospace.
The attackers didn't need some super secret zero-day exploit. They didn't need to breach multiple complex airport firewalls. They just identified the weakest link in the supply chain, the vendor providing that shared platform, and they hit that. Maximum impact, minimum complex hacking required on their part.
The security world has been talking about third-party risk for years, hasn't it? But this is like Exhibit A.
It's the cold, hard proof. Organizations absolutely have to go beyond just securing their own digital walls. They need to seriously audit, continuously monitor, and actually enforce security standards on all their technology vendors.
That sounds incredibly complex, though.
Oh, it is hugely complex. Think about it. These global systems rely on potentially hundreds of different vendors and sub-vendors and sub-sub-vendors. It's a massive web. But this incident demonstrates it starkly. The security posture of Collins Aerospace is effectively the security posture of Brussels, Berlin, and Heathrow, at least for those shared systems. That vulnerability is shared by default.
So what happens next? Is this going to trigger a big regulatory shakeup? Because just asking companies nicely to be secure clearly wasn't enough here.
I think we're already seeing the wheels turn. Yes, the NCSC is pushing out free guidance and tools, which is good. But the bigger consequence is almost certainly going to be regulatory acceleration.
Meaning stricter rules.
Much stricter. This incident gives politicians the justification, the momentum they need to really overhaul aviation cybersecurity standards, probably globally. I'd expect to see new mandatory requirements coming down the pipeline pretty soon, specifically targeting these shared service providers and critical vendors.
Like forcing them to have better backups or separate systems.
Things like mandatory system segregation, yes.
Yeah.
Better proven redundancy. More rigorous auditing. Things that cost money but reduce this kind of systemic risk.
Okay, let's shift focus for a minute.
Yeah.
What about the person who is actually stuck, sleeping on the terminal floor, missing connections? The passenger. If you got caught up in this mess, delayed for hours, maybe your flight canceled. What rights do you actually have?
That's a really important question, and unfortunately, it's a bit murky right now.
Oh.
So passenger compensation in Europe is generally covered by EU Regulation 261/2004. It's pretty robust, usually mandates compensation for significant delays, cancellations, denied boarding.
Okay, sounds good so far.
However, there's a significant loophole. Airlines can often get out of paying compensation if they can prove the disruption was caused by extraordinary circumstances.
Ah. And I guess a massive cyber attack sounds pretty extraordinary.
Well, that's the debate. That's the legal gray area, isn't it? Is a huge coordinated ransomware attack on a known critical third-party supplier truly an extraordinary circumstance outside the airline's control?
Or is relying on that single vendor, potentially without ensuring their security was adequate, actually a foreseeable business risk?
Hmm.
A risk the airline and its vendor maybe fail to properly mitigate.
That is precisely the tension. The airlines will absolutely argue it's extraordinary and external attack, nothing they could do. Consumer rights groups, on the other hand, will likely push back hard. They'll argue that choosing to rely on this single, potentially vulnerable system, MUSE, was a business decision. So the failure resulting from that choice, that should fall under operational responsibility.
And whether you get compensation hinges entirely on how that gets classified.
Exactly. It's vital.
That feels incredibly frustrating for the traveler, though. The entire industry seemingly fails to secure a key piece of infrastructure, and then that failure becomes the excuse to deny compensation.
It is deeply frustrating, I agree. So the actionable advice for anyone listening who was affected, what can you actually do right now?
Yes, please.
Okay, first, document absolutely everything. Keep every single piece of paper or digital record. Boarding passes, any delay notifications you received from the airline, emails.
Receipts.
Critically, yes. Receipts for all additional expenses you incurred directly because of the disruption. Hotel stays, meals, taxis, whatever it was, keep meticulous records.
Okay, document everything. Then what?
Second, file your compensation claim with the airline anyway. Don't assume they'll deny it or accept their initial extraordinary circumstances line. Make your case clearly. State that you believe this shouldn't be classified as extraordinary, perhaps mentioning the reliance on known shared vendor systems as a contributing factor.
Worth a shot, I suppose. What about travel insurance? Is that likely to cover this?
Ah, travel insurance. That's your potential safety net, but you must read the fine print of your specific policy.
They vary a lot.
Hugely. Some policies might explicitly mention coverage for cyber-related disruptions or IT failures. If yours does, you might be in luck. But if it's more general, or if the insurance company simply follows the airline's classification of extraordinary circumstances, then you might find yourself not covered. You need to check your policy documents right now if you were affected.
Good advice. Okay, last thing on this looking ahead. If you've got European travel booked, or you're planning some, should you change how you approach it, given this kind of thing can happen?
I think it's prudent, yes. Given the, demonstrated fragility of some of these major hubs and the fact that these systemic cyber incidents seem to be happening more frequently, remember, there have been plenty of near misses before this one really hit hard.
So plan for the worst.
Maybe not the worst, but certainly plan for friction. I would strongly recommend building in extra cushion time. Allow significantly more buffer between connecting flights, especially if you're transiting through those big European hubs like Heathrow, Brussels, Berlin, Paris, Amsterdam.
Assume delays might happen.
Assume there will be some kind of digital friction or unexpected delay, and plan around that assumption. A little extra time can save a lot of stress if something goes wrong.
It feels like this event really drove home a point, didn't it? That these massive cyber threats to global transport, they're not theoretical anymore.
Yeah.
Not just plots in movies.
Not at all.
They are present realities. They can cause widespread, genuinely painful disruption for millions of people. This feels like maybe the new normal for critical infrastructure vulnerability.
I think you're right. It's a watershed moment. Mm. And perhaps the final thought for you, for everyone listening, to carry forward is this. These digital threats, they obviously don't respect national borders. Collins Aerospace is American. The airports were European. The attackers could be anywhere.
Right.
So the security of these shared international systems absolutely demands truly coordinated, deep international cooperation between national cybersecurity agencies, governments, and the private sector.
Easier said than done, I imagine.
Well, hugely. The biggest challenge right now probably isn't even the technology itself. It's getting independent nations and competing companies to agree on unified security standards, to share threat intelligence effectively, and maybe sacrifice a little bit of that operational efficiency or competitive edge for the collective safety and resilience of the entire global system. Finding that balance, that's the key to preventing the next potentially even more severe incident.